This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
With the Trump administration, we're seeing cuts left and right in places a lot of people wouldn't be expecting. And one of them right now, from what we're understanding, is a rollback on funding for public transit. Now, some states, as well as New York, have now joined in to say that they're going to be reallocating their own funds to increase more bike paths or make it more accessible for people to get around without having to rely on public transit as much. So I guess from what I'm going to ask for you from start is, talk to me a little bit about what this could mean as far as increasing the trails and why that could be actually beneficial.
Sure. Well, first of all, at GoBike, we are advocates for all modes of sustainable transportation. And we are disappointed to see that funds for transit are being pulled back because, anyone who thinks about getting stuck in traffic or things like that, every time you're able to present an opportunity to remove a car from the road, you're going to improve safety, air quality, and traffic flow. And when we think about a long-term sustainable future, it's not necessarily about cars going from gas to electric, but it's having frequent and reliable transit so that anyone of any age and ability can be able to travel a long distance. So that is disappointing to hear that funding is being pulled from transit. But in terms of if that money were to be moved from transit projects to bicycle projects, that's certainly better than the money disappearing altogether. Currently in Western New York, we have a relatively disjointed cycling network. And, we kind of view things in a pyramid. And right now, the very top of the pyramid is the very able-bodied, very confident cyclist who can go anywhere. But when you think about something like the Niagara Street Cycle Track, the North Tonawanda Rails to Trails, the Clarence Bike Paths, those are the kind of pieces of infrastructure that we do need to build out with urgency. Because, one, they better protect our most vulnerable users who are walking or biking, and keep them away from cars. You know, we're in a 41-year high in a pedestrian death rate. And so any kind of infrastructure that we can build that is protected is absolutely critical to then get that next level of people out there. You know, we often hear, why would you build a bike lane? I never even see anybody biking. Well, when it's really unsafe to do so, you'll continue to not see anybody biking. But the way you turn the tide is you build the infrastructure and then people will use it. Now we can see families ride their bikes together. We can see older adults ride around. And when you have that kind of safe infrastructure that is well equipped with lighting, with benches, then you're also able to see our older adults who can no longer drive, potentially use that. And then they're not doomed to suffer the ill effects of isolation at home. When we really build out infrastructure that kids can use, that older adults can use, we're building out infrastructure that everyone can use. We need more than just paint on shoulders where conflicts can arise constantly between people biking and people driving. We need dedicated and protected infrastructure that anyone of any confidence level can get out on.
And you brought up a really interesting point there because, you know, you hear people say all the time, it's just like, why do you have bikes on the road? Well, it's because they're technically by law required to be. They can't be going onto the sidewalk and riding it. And you'll see some people that are trying to cut off some of these bikes or create some extremely dangerous situations. So it's almost like in major large cities, it just makes sense to have more of these trails, does it not?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Like I said, in the city of Buffalo, you can point to the Niagara Street Cycle Track as some of the top tier infrastructure statewide. And as well as, you know, something like a rails to trails. So there's really two options when we're talking about the highest level of protected infrastructure that would welcome anyone to ride. And that is taking space from a roadway and protecting it with concrete and bollards and making it a one- or two-way cycle track. That's one way to, you know, have bike routes going the same way as roads and things like that. And then when we're talking about trails and greenways and things like that, those are often, but not always, former rail beds. We have so many miles of former railway here in Western New York that's been abandoned. You know, something that we worked on just this past year was a feasibility study for the Amherst Peanut Line. And that would just be a continuation of the Clarence Bike Path. It goes along the same peanut railway that was Batavia to Niagara Falls. You know, so that land is out there for trails. And something we were talking about when we did that feasibility study is, you know, this would connect two different schools and a bunch of different local businesses. So you'd be giving kids and families safer routes to school, healthier routes to school than sitting in the back of mom and dad's car, or, you know, if buses continue to be difficult to fund and find drivers for, you're creating safe spaces for children to get to school safely and for them to high schoolers and things like that, to give them places to stop along the way. So if the real estate is there, you see roads going through diets often. Delaware Avenue was one that used to be four lanes, and then it changed to two drive lanes, one turn lane, and two shoulder bike paths. And you did see cycling go up, but again, like I said, that is something that only the most confident cyclists will do, is just have a little line of paint separating them from cars. But on the other side of things, you saw traffic continue to move just as frequently. When Delaware Avenue was changed between Niagara Square and North Street years ago, they did a before and after analysis of traffic, and more cars moved through that section of Delaware Avenue than had before when it was four drive lanes. So you're not always sacrificing speed and efficiency when you build in bike infrastructure. It's just that when you're only doing shoulder lanes, which is the cheapest possible option, you are only serving a small percentage of those who would otherwise bike. So spending a little bit more and building in some concrete and bollards that protect people, you will now serve a much greater population. So if these funds are going to move from transit towards bike, then maybe we're able to open up those opportunities to build out more protected infrastructure, more trails and greenways than we could afford to do previously. And we'll see more people bike. And what we know is, you know, when people choose to bike instead of drive, we improve air quality, we improve the health of that individual. And people who walk and who bike tend to spend more at locally owned businesses, and they stop more frequently at them. You know, obviously at GoBike, it's in our name, but we've got the data behind us to prove that our efforts are ones to build a stronger, healthier community that's a bit more economically resilient as well.
All right. And then just to wrap it up, is there anything particular that maybe I didn't ask about or something you think would be important for our listeners to be aware about?
Are you guys covering anything in regards to the why on the Trump administration? Like why they're doing this?
I have not gotten to that part yet. I am going to be talking to a couple of our local lawmakers soon here to see what they have to say about that.
Okay. There was a Wall Street Journal article I'd read that was like, you know, Trump's big oil backers aren't necessarily down for drill, baby, drill, because the oil prices are still so low, but rather they wanted to see, you know, policies that would solidify driving and the demand for gasoline. So, you know, I'm excited for the news that more funding might be coming to cycling, but at the end of the day, will that funding eventually be clawed back to? I'm not sure. I certainly hope not.